everybody.
Hi, friends. Well, from beautiful Salt Lake City, Utah,
it's Thank God I'm Atheist,
the podcast.
I'm Frank Feldman.
And I'm Dan Beecher.
And coming up on the show today, freaky deaky shit is happening in the sky, folks.
Yeah, by the time you hear this, if you hear this, it will have already happened.
The eclipse we're talking about. And
here in the United States.
Yeah. They may never, Dan. Considering all the bad that comes from eclipses, we might just be recording this for naught.
I know.
The whole everything is going to come crashing down around us, Dan.
You know, it's going to be the beginning of the end for sure.
Well, anyway, we're going to be talking about that on the second half of the show. First, some things happened out in the world, or at least kind of happened. All right. Well, I'm going to start with this story about, I guess it's just about Transgender Day of Visibility, right? That happens every year, at least for the last few years. I don't know. How long has this been going on?
A while. I have hit Facebook memory posts about it.
Okay. So it's been going on for some time.
Something tells me we should trigger warn. I don't know. We're gonna be talking about people hating on. I mean,
this isn't.
Listen, you know. You guys all know.
You know. And this isn't like the worst of the worst. This is just silliness. But anyway, it happens every year, March 31st. That's a tradition.
Yeah.
And that's nothing new.
Right.
But this year,
and it's international too. We should point out it's not just here. It's
okay.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. It's universal. Is it universal? Indeed. Could we say? But anyway, this year, Easter fell on March 31st. And let's just remind ourselves of the fact that Easter is one of those really ridiculous, silly holidays that just can't decide what day of the year it's on.
Right.
It's always a Sunday, but it can be almost any Sunday.
Because it follows a lunar calendar, because it's a ripoff of Passover.
Yeah.
And so
it's sometime in the spring it happens.
Yeah, it can be whenever. Anywhere from like early March to or like somewhere in March to all the way to late April or whatever. Like it's absurd. Yeah,
it's really, really annoying. Well, anyway, so those two things converged this year, and President Biden declared March 31st. He made an official declaration, right, acknowledging that it was Transgender Visibility Day. And that's just a nice thing that presidents do. They make these declarations about days, right, to acknowledge things.
Yeah.
And so that should have been the end of the story, I suppose. But Christians, of course, twisted this into essentially Biden has turned Easter into Trans Visibility Day.
Oh, 100%.
Trump jumped on this, of course.
Yeah.
Here he was at a campaign rally in Wisconsin, saying, "What the hell was Biden thinking when he declared Easter Sunday to be Trans Visibility Day? Such total disrespect to Christians," he says. And so he has a little bit of a response.
Oh, good. Thank you.
He feels like, and he pitched this to the crowd that really liked the idea, that there needs to be a Christian Visibility Day.
Oh, yes, of course.
And so he has declared a day to be Christian Visibility Day. November 5th of this year will be Christian Visibility Day.
I wonder if anything else is happening in early November.
God, yeah, no kidding. I think actually November 5th is the election day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's making hay about this. And of course the Christians are just eating it up with a spoon, but because they all are just a bunch of,
Whiny bitches?
Yeah, that's, I was going to say, wannabe victims.
Oh, yeah.
And they sure do like Christian victimhood.
Oh, yeah. It's their favorite thing.
And they, yeah. And so, of course, this just played right into them that they, the thought that Christians need a visibility day, right, in this country of all countries,
right,
is just absolutely absurd, right?
Let me tell you something.
Because they're not visible the rest of the year, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
When I was looking for audio to play for our audio break, I found audio, like, Christians throwing a hissy fit about this all, like, you know, Nick Fuentes and Kat Kerr. Oh, Kat Kerr had a brilliant one where she basically claimed that what Biden said was that he said that Easter will now be known as Transgender Visibility Day from this day forward.
Whatever. That's so, it's just, they love to just get riled up and let people get them riled up.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm so tired of that aspect of American politics.
Yeah.
Right. It's so, it's just like, can we please not just be honest about this?
Can we?
Here's the deal. I think it would be absolutely wrong of them, obviously, to oppose Trans Visibility Day, but they obviously do. Yeah. Right. Just be honest about it, that that's what you're in opposition to. Right. You can say, I don't think the president should have done that. Right. Yeah. But to disingenuously, right,
to just lie,
just completely lie about it is, I'm just so sick and tired of it.
But disingenuous is the whole game.
I know. And it's just,
that's how they play.
I know. And honestly, everyone, I don't know how many times I've expressed this on the show, probably not that often. If it were not for this show, I would have tuned out a long time ago.
Yeah,
I really would have. Like, I can't. It drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah, I get it.
I definitely be reading this kind of news if it weren't for the show. But
I know. But
isn't that this a great sentiment? This is what. Or I guess I go through phases, right? And I'm in a phase right now where I'm just like, fuck this stupid news.
Well, yeah, I get it. That makes sense. But you don't get to because it's your job.
I know. Thanks, Dan.
Let's all blame me.
Well, you're the one who wanted to do a podcast 13 years ago or whatever it was. So, yeah, I am blaming you.
Okay, fair enough. Very. You're welcome, Frank. Jesus Christ. All right. I'm going to take us all the way around the world to Kenya, where I got good news and bad news, which always ends in bad news. But there was a Reverend Dominique Muli Nzioka. I'm sure I nailed that.
Yeah, well done.
Who was a parish priest in a parish in Mivumoni in the Archdiocese of Mombasa.
Okay.
Who, you'll be shocked to learn, spoiler or maybe trigger warning about sex crimes by priests on children, but like, was found guilty of assaulting a 16-year-old girl. He lured her to his house during the pandemic, mind you, with text messages, and then gave her alcohol in a coffee cup, and then
alcohol
assaulted her. Anywho,
okay,
that's bad news. Good news. He was convicted of this crime and sentenced to 7 years in prison.
7 years.
7 years is not sufficient,
very long. No.
In my opinion, but it's something. It's a priest who actually faced consequences. But don't worry. Bad news is right around the corner. He appealed this sentence.
Oh, no.
And the appeals court decided 7 years was maybe a bit much and changed his sentence, like didn't overturn the conviction, still agreed that he had that he had assaulted this child.
Thank God.
But in an attempt ostensibly to prevent others from assaulting children, his new sentence was that he had to, he was on probation because he's naughty, but also he had to give a sermon about anti-sexual abuse laws at least once a month.
You're fucking kidding me.
The amount of problematic in that is, like, astounding.
Mm.
Forget about the fact that he, you know, that the law doesn't apply to priests and that he can just walk free after sexually assaulting a child. That's bad enough. But then it's like, I mean, you know, so then, you know, people in the archdiocese were complaining that this is sort of, that there's a free speech issue in terms of like, telling someone what they have to give a sermon about. And I agree with them.
Yeah.
You're making me agree with the archdiocese on this. What are you doing? I never want to agree with the archdiocese, but like, yeah, you can't just tell someone, that's barely even considered community service.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
I mean, and yes, that's got to feel humiliating to the priest to talk about his crime.
The category of crime that he committed, not right. his yeah. crime.
No, you're right. You're right.
You know, like make him talk about his crime.
Yeah. Right. Make him talk about it openly to like, make him admit to it, make him,
like if you're going
shame him to, and walk him through and like walk him down the aisles, up and down the aisles, and let everyone throw shit at him or spit on him or like,
yeah, why not?
Fucking wait, anything.
Is there a stockade?
Do anything.
Does this town have a stockade?
Right.
Could you?
I'm not even. I don't know why I'm on this because I'm not even into retributive justice. But
at this, a certain point, Dan.
This is not sufficient.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he needed to be locked up.
Yeah.
For the betterment of society, right? Like he needed to be removed from society. He's a bad guy.
He needed to be removed from the priesthood. That's definitely. For goddamn sure.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah, nobody is holding this guy accountable.
Yeah.
Not even the church, which...
Not even the church!
That,
come on, church!
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out, Dan. That did kind of slip past me. All right. Oh, Dan. Dan. So, for those of you outside of the Mormon sphere, you may not know what General Conference is, but for those of us who... grew up in the church.
It's just torture. That's all it is.
Twice a year, they hold general conference on a Saturday and a Sunday, and it's multiple sessions. It's televised and fed out live via satellite to chapels around the world. And it's really, really awful. But Mormons, like the really faithful Mormons, they just fucking love it. It's just like such a spiritual time. And anyway... Heading up to General Conference this last week, because it's kind of this weekend it's happening. Earlier in the week, Russell Nelson, who's the president of the church right now, he had a social media post that I'm sure he, you know, typed into his phone himself.
Right.
That I'm sure that he approved. He sort of was warned the faithful or I suppose reminded the faithful that their church leaders have gotten old. And
you think?
Yeah. Nelson himself is 99 years old.
Yeah.
Which is
he's literally the oldest human.
Yeah, which is pretty, I mean, good on him, right?
Yeah, way to make it to 99. That's impressive. Yeah,
it's impressive. The next in line, so when Nelson passes away, because that's how it works, that's how the next guy gets to become president of the church. It would go to Dallin Oaks, who is 91.
Yeah.
In fact, the article that I saw this in pointed out that the other member of the first presidency as well is also in his 90s. These folks, they're really old. I guess there's like accommodations that are being made. Like some will be giving their little speechy things from their chair, from their winged back little throne chair. On the dais. Some have recorded their messages beforehand, and it'll be played on tape for people to watch live. That will be really exciting, right?
Yeah,
this is a different kind of live on tape, though. This is literally pre-recorded.
Yeah.
And I started just thinking about the idea of like severely elderly people leading large organizations and whatnot. And I also just kind of wanted, and so of course I couldn't help but think of our dear president, Joe Biden.
Our dear leader.
Our dear leader, who everybody complains about how old he is at 81. Yeah. But I would like to point out that is 18 years younger than Nelson. Which Lord. I was just like, what the fuck? He's 81 years old and there's somebody alive who's 18 years older than him?
Right. Yeah.
Like
there was a guy voting. There's a guy in charge of a major church who was voting when he was born.
Well, probably not, because the voting age wasn't reduced to 18 until like the 70s or something like that. So,
what was it before? 21?
21. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember when that happened. 60s or 70s, if I remember correctly. But nonetheless, so he wasn't voting, but he was, you know, maybe in college.
Right.
Right. Like pretty amazing. But I don't know. Like, it feels weird to pivot from Nelson to a conversation about ageism.
But you're gonna try it.
But I'm gonna go for it, because okay. This whole thing just had me really thinking about like the churches, the Mormon church's setup is whether or not Brigham Young intended this when he sort of set this whole thing in motion, is designed to be a gerontocracy.
Yeah,
which I do have a problem with, right? And yeah. I think Mormons should have a problem with it, because their top leaders are just perpetually out of touch, right? And oftentimes ailing and with no way to get out of the position, right? Like this is a until you die thing, right?
No one has ever pulled a Pope Benedict.
Right.
Yet.
Right. And oh that they would, but they never would, right? I don't think the Mormons, they fucking love this shit. But anyway, so it's a very different situation than like an elected official like Biden and whatnot. But I am so sick and tired of people talking about Biden's age.
I mean, if you're going to talk
ageism,
about
ageism, right? And I'm
right.
And it's really started to crystallize for me lately. It's just because, you know, you hear that criticism and at a certain point you're like, well, is he capable of doing the job?
Yeah.
Right. And I think, and people are using his age as the reason why he's not capable of doing the job.
Right.
And I don't see that. Right. Like, yes, he's an old man, but like his gaffes, his little verbal flubs that he does, he's always done that. They're not signs of advancing age. Right. And he's getting around.
You can have all kinds of objections to Joe Biden, but
there are plenty, but his age is not the grounds for a proper objection, right? If somebody is still, it's still with it, is still, you know, capable, why would you not? Like, if they literally are still there, why would you deprive yourself even, right? Of that person's leadership, I mean, on that basis.
Right. But I mean, there are other problems with someone who's, who's older. Like, you know, they definitely, like, I don't trust Biden to understand complex technical issues. You know what I mean? Like,
ageist.
No, it's just a matter of like, shit passes you by. It's doing it to me. It's just going to happen.
Right. But like, again,
and also, you know,
you're I using mean, like just his age as the justification for that position. Isn't that ageism?
I don't think it's his age. I think it's actually his generation, which I think is a different thing.
See, I don't know. Like,
all right, people are going to have to write in on this one. People
they
are
do
get
need
us.
To, because I've been growing increasingly uneasy with how we are treating "quote unquote boomers," right? Lately, I feel like there is just this. You're a boomer.
We have been on boomers.
We
on
have,
this show.
We have, and I feel like it's been playful and not mean spirited. But I see so much online that is just boomers fucking suck, right? And it's like,
yeah, but again, that might not be ageism. That might be a reference to how their generation was brought up, and therefore sort of how their generation acts as a generation.
Well,
and
then maybe is thing. General generationism or something, but like, but it is the same, essentially the same mechanism, which is you're taking a group of people and you're painting them with the exact same broad brush.
Yeah.
Right. You're not looking at the individual. And these are all of the things that we would say about racism, right? Yeah. Or sexism and ageism. Clearly, we've just been talking about it, right? That you take the category that the person is in and you make broad assumptions about them.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm increasingly uncomfortable with what seemed like kind of a funny thing a few years ago. Okay, boomer, right? Mm. And it is solidified into an angry sentiment from younger generations toward the older generations. And maybe this is just self-preservation because I'm aging. but like, I'm starting to see it in a very negative light. I think it's ugly. And I think that we need to be, I don't know. We need a little bit more careful, right, with how we talk about some of these difficult issues.
All right.
Because the thing that we accuse boomers of just blanketly, right, are really just failed policies that were enacted during that generation that did benefit them, but that are now failing, right? Such as housing policy.
I think there are
generational sentiments that would not be bubbling over at this point if people could afford housing and they felt like their careers were on track, right?
Mm.
Those are the things that are like really getting people broadly pissed off at boomers because they see them as beneficiaries and also active participants, because that's the only way you could actually like justifiably be angry at them, right?
Well, and because they refuse to see that like things are different. I think the anger that I see is when boomers just don't refuse to acknowledge that the world now is different than the one that they came up in.
And sure.
The mechanisms that helped them don't help people anymore.
Right.
And they won't enact policies and they won't listen to anyone younger saying, you know, your shit doesn't work. And we need new stuff. And that's the anger that I hear.
Right.
So it's not just about
I think that the anger is obviously fair because the system has failed. Right. Yeah. But it's not helpful, right, to be generationist against them.
All right. I think we're going to be hearing a lot back about this stuff. So
I'm just saying, I'm personally avoiding that kind of talk. It kind of hit ahead for me. So
yeah. All right. Remember, address it to Frank at podcast@thankgodimadethis.com.
Bring it on, people. I'm ready.
Well, I'm gonna talk about some weird news. You know, I'm an up and down guy today. My stories are roller coaster rides today. Here's the thing. We know that religiosity in the United States is on the steep decline. But one of the things Woo-hoo. That we don't talk about
mm-hmm.
is the fact that, like, that is a question of religiosity as a percentage of population.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the number of Catholics, for example, is actually climbing. It's going up. But that's only because it's going up at a slower rate as the general population is going up. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the total number of Catholics in America in the last 50 years has gone up by 46%. It's huge.
Okay.
But the population, the overall population went up by 65%. So
gotcha. Right.
So yes, as a percentage of the population, Catholicism is losing ground. Mm-hmm. But when you think about, like, a 46% growth rate in the number of people calling themselves Catholic, it kind of puts a different light on the fact that the Catholic Church has been closing parishes nationwide.
Well, that's
significantly.
Yeah.
Like the number of Catholic parishes has gone down 9% since 1970.
What's going on?
Well, that's an interesting that doesn't make question.
Sense. Because if their total numbers are growing, you would expect their number of parishes to also increase.
You might. I think that one of the things is that people who call themselves Catholic, there are sort of cultural Catholics, but those aren't necessarily people who go to church and, you know, put dollars into a plate that gets passed around or whatever.
Isn't that funny?
Now,
why would more people be claiming to be Catholic in the same period of time where you have a fall off on it in attendance?
I think because the main way that the Catholic Church grows is that people have a lot of kids and they say our family is Catholic.
Yeah,
but everybody stops going and nobody's that when it's not. I mean, you know, you and I were raised in a high demand religion where, like, you're in or you're out.
Yeah.
But, like, Catholicism, you can just sort of. You can just say you're Catholic and there's nothing at stake. Nobody's like,
right.
Nobody's like sees you do something not Catholic and goes, aha. Like in Mormonism, if someone from your ward sees you drinking a beer, like the rest of the ward knows about it. It's scandal, but nobody gives a fuck with Catholicism. Anyway, with Catholicism. So here's an interesting fact. The parishes are going down or being consolidated into, you know, you take two different parishes and you squish them together. And the ones that they are closing are overwhelmingly in Black and Latino neighborhoods. Disproportionately.
Racist.
Well, I mean, okay, the truth is that the better indicator, the better predictor of whether it's going to close is if it's in a poor neighborhood.
Okay. Classes.
Well, here's the thing. What the fuck are you there to do, Catholic Church?
Yeah, no kidding.
Who needs you right now?
Who's paying the bills, Dan?
That's the point. That, I mean, you can't make a better argument about, like, what they're actually in it for. Than to see that, like, it's not like, I'm guessing that if you looked at different Catholic communities, the ones that have the devout members are going to be the Hispanic communities. You know what I mean? The ones, it's not going to be like, you know, an Italian neighborhood in New Jersey. It's going to be a Latin neighborhood. And yet that's the and yet these are the ones where they're closing, where they're closing out the parishes because they're not bringing in the money. Like, it doesn't say that. Nobody has made that official, but
it sure feels like it.
It's correlated. Correlation is not causation, but it can be. Anyway.
Well, that's an interesting development, Dan.
Yeah.
Fucking Catholics.
Fucking Catholics.
All right, Dan. Here's one that is unpleasant, Dan.
Yeah.
The story.
I'm bracing myself.
Please do. You honestly need to brace yourself. Because it involves the state of Tennessee.
And nothing good comes out of the state of Tennessee.
A new bill that just passed their Senate and is waiting the signature of the governor, who will most likely sign it. It passed 73-20. The bill, once it's signed by the governor, will prohibit the Department of Children's Services, that's DCS, from requiring prospective or current adoptive or foster parents to agree with government policy regarding sexual orientation or gender identity that conflicts with their own beliefs. So, right.
Which means all the gay kids are screwed.
All of the gay kids and the trans kids in they're currently in the care of DCS in Tennessee are potentially very screwed. So
like some of them are probably in DCS's care because they were abused by a parent because of their,
it's quite possible. Yeah.
Because of their gayness or their transness.
Yeah. I would think that that's a fair thing to kind of, throw out there as a possibility.
So, was this bill specifically called the insult to injury bill?
No, I don't think. I think they were wiser than that.
That's the unofficial title of the bill.
Anyway, let's see. DCS is prohibited from deeming parents unfit to be a child's guardian based on their own religious or moral beliefs regarding sexual orientation or gender identity. The bill, interestingly, would conflict with federal rules that place safeguards on LGBTQ children. So I guess they're probably also setting up, a legal fight with the feds, which they love to do in these conservative states to test.
Oh, they're so proud when they do it.
Oh, I know. And yeah, just kind of continuing on, the bill mandates that non-affirming foster parents, so it specifically mandates this, right? That non-affirming foster parents have access to LGBTQ children for fostering or adoption. It states that a parent's beliefs about sexual orientation or gender identity do not create a, quote, presumption that any particular placement is contrary to the best interests of the child. So it's nice that they're, you know, through law, saying things that just aren't true. Right? Like, yeah, it clearly is. Yeah. Contrary to the best interest of the child. Now, apparently DCS can still consider the values of the child and the parents when determining an appropriate placement. Right. And that might be enough to safeguard the placement for some children. But right now, they would not put kids into harm's way, right, by putting them in an anti-gay home.
Right.
And this would allow it. It makes it something they cannot consider. And it's obviously disgusting. And it's just one more way that conservative states are attempting to limit the rights of LGBTQ people in this country.
Fuck limit the rights. They're attempting to make their lives bad.
Well, that too. Yeah.
They absolutely just want to hurt people.
This one is about hurting. Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Yep.
That's, I mean, we did a story I remember not too long ago. This must be a reaction to about a family. You don't remember this maybe, but I remember a story about a couple suing because they felt discriminated against because and I don't remember if this was Tennessee specifically, but you know, they were suing because they wanted to be able to, you know, Christian at gay kids. And they were being discriminated against. So right. There you go. All yep. right. Well, I'm gonna close us out on something that I find funny. So
good.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan. Everybody take a cleansing breath. Because the bad guys are out there, but this is bad guys making the lives of dumb people. Like this is Mormons making Mormons' lives harder.
Oh, and
that makes me giggle.
Okay,
you know intimately well that, and I think most people are aware that Mormons wear what is called the temple garments.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This is underwear.
Yeah,
that they once they've been through the Mormon temple. They are required to wear this underwear. Theoretically, what was your understanding for when you had to wear this underwear?
Basically, all the time, except maybe like when you're swimming or engaged in like athletic physical activity, right? But otherwise, all the fucking time.
Yeah. So here's the thing. There has now been anyone who is on Mormon mommy TikTok, which I am not, but like, or you know, Mormon mommy Instagram, because there are several very popular more young pretty Mormon housewives,
Mormy mommies
doing you know, putting out trad wife. I don't know if you've heard of that phrase, but
no,
traditional wife content.
Seriously?
Oh yeah,
gross.
One of the things that they do is they're almost always dressed in like yoga pants or they're frequently dressed in like yoga pants and a tank top.
See, that went a different direction. I was expecting more like pioneer garb because that would be traditional mommy.
Right. Right? And that's like a cottage core thing. That is there. There's a lot going on with the social media right now. Anywho,
okay,
all right. There has been a sort of like, I think a lot of young Mormon women have realized that if they dress in athletic wear, then there's a loophole about like not having to wear the garments
because
these garments have like sleeves that would show if you don't have at least a short sleeve. Like a cap sleeve's not going to do it.
Right.
You need a short sleeve because the sleeve on the top of the garment comes down over the shoulder and they come down almost to the knee on the thigh.
Yeah.
They're long. They're big. They're awful. So, they've been getting out of it because they're doing athletic stuff. They're in their athletic wear. You said it. You said that like athletic things you're allowed to not wear anyway.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Clever.
Yeah.
Of them.
So recently, a general authority, in Elk Grove, California, was giving a talk and let slip what seems to be something that's going on the inside of the church, which is he's on there's something about he's on a committee to study possible redesign of the garments.
What?
That's interesting. So stay tuned for that. We don't know what's happening there.
Okay.
But we do know that the people in charge are 1,000 years old, so don't expect thongs anytime soon.
Yeah, probably not. But I mean, they could do like, because the thing about the garments, everybody, is they have these little symbols on them, right? And there's one on each breast, there's one on the navel, and then one on over one of the knees. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I've always wondered why they just don't make pasties of just those little symbols, right? Like just little band-aids you can put on that have the symbol.
There you go.
And then you're covered, right?
Yeah. Anyway, here's the other thing that the general authorities Kevin Hamilton had to say. Wear your garments, young women.
Did he say it? You are not.
He is. They are going to start re-emphasizing. I'm guessing we're going to hear about it in this week's general conference. It is absolutely of paramount importance that everyone has to wear their garments, even if you're an influencer.
They said that?
No, no, no. Okay. I'm throwing that in there for my own enjoyment.
I would love that if they actually acknowledged what part of the problem is.
Right. No, he said, the temple garment is a sacred part of the worship of followers of Jesus Christ. Official announcements related to temple matters come from the church headquarters and are reflected in the general handbook. Anyone seeking guidance about the wearing of the temple garments should refer to their local leaders. But I think what's going to be happening is a double down, a triple down, a quadruple down. You gotta wear them. Mm-hmm. He did mention younger women were opting for, quote, yoga pants. And let me tell you something. Garments don't look good under your yoga pants. There's no Lululemon that's going to look good with garments on underneath them.
With your bunchy garments on?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, looking good has never been a consideration of the garment.
No. No.
Never. I don't think they've ever actually thought about the aesthetics at all. Oh,
they've thought of, they have been redesigned over time. They used to be full length, sleeves and all the way down.
Insanity. Yeah. They used to be onesies.
Damn. Oh yeah,
like the old timey.
My dad only wore the onesies.
Yeah,
you literally have to get in through the neck hole.
Yeah, but yeah, you know the flannel underwear that like you know Western. With the flap and everything. That's what they were. They just weren't flannel. Red or flannel. They were white and some sort of cotton product, probably.
Yeah.
They're awful. I hated wearing the garments so much.
Oh, well, there you go. if you would like to comment on anything we've talked about today, and I suspect some of you do.
There were some things today, guys.
You can write into us. Comment on the garments thing. That's what I want you to comment on.
Not yelling at me. They can yell at me, Dan.
Yeah, they can yell at both of us. I'm sure. There's plenty to go around. Anyway, podcast at thankgodimatheist.com is the address.
And I do think we'll get some positive stuff about what I had to say as well.
I think so.
Because, you know, we have some older listeners.
We have some boomers who are like, somebody said something nice. Rewind. How do I use this thing? How do I rewind?
Dan. Ooh, Dan.
It's jokes, people. It's jokes.
All right. Call and leave us a voicemail message. We'd love to hear from you. The telephone number is 424-666-8442. Stick around. There's more show coming up.
Well, Frank,
Dan,
we've played many a clip from Pastor Shane Vaughn or Sean Vane, whatever you want.
Yeah, because he's the delight.
He's the ding dongiest of ding dongs. He's truly is special. You're going to have to forgive listeners because this is not good audio. He's in his car. There's apparently traffic passing. I don't know why he insisted on this place, but I think he just needed to say what he has decided to say.
Okay.
And you know, here's the thing. He's a Trump lover. Mm. He loves Donald Trump to the point where I think people have accused him of being in a cult. I accuse him of being in a Trump cult. is what I currently still accuse him of. He doesn't care. And here's the other thing. When you think of a pastor talking about a political candidate who has been not only accused, but proven in a court of law to have literally raped a person.
Right.
Which is E. Jean Carroll.
Right.
And then also we all know that he paid hush money to a stripper that he had sex with.
Porn star.
A porn star, right. That's what I meant, that he had sex with. I would think a pastor would necessarily have to have a problem with that person. Like, by divine mandate.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear what Shane has to say.
Listen, I'm not dumb. I don't know what happened with him and Stormy Daniels. I don't know what happened with him and E. Jean Carroll. He may be guilty of it all. And yes, call me a cult member. I don't care. Why? No more than I would have cared what David did with Bathsheba if I saw that he was winning the war.
Oh, great. Great.
I mean, look, here's where I can get behind what he has to say. If there's one thing that he's correct about with the Bible, it's that you have to be a hypocrite to be okay with it. If you want to like David, you have to just overlook the fact that he raped Bathsheba and then murdered her husband, and you have to just be okay with it. If you want to be like a Bible is all literally true, a Bible literalist and whatever,
right?
Hypocrisy is required. So on that front, he's got a point, I suppose.
God, I have always focused on Shane, the fact that Shane Vaughn looks like he's what's his bucket's younger brother? What's the not March of Dimes? Jerry
Lewis. Lewis.
But he looks like Jerry Lewis's younger brother or something. That's what I've always fixated on. And this time I actually realized that his voice reminds me of Slim Pickens a little bit. And I think that that's probably the better connection in my head.
Oh my God, Jerry. So. I want him to be like, I don't care if he raped lady. She white.
Oh my amazing, goodness. Dan. Amazing.
So that's where they're at. They're acknowledging the rape now.
Yeah.
They are at least not denying it, or some people aren't denying it. They're just like, I don't know what happened. I wasn't in the room. But if he did rape her, it's probably fine because he's winning the invisible war that we made up.
Right.
That isn't really happening.
Oh, it's really terrifying. Like, they'll justify anything at this point.
Oh, my God. Like, literally anything.
Yeah.
There is nothing that is not, that is beyond the pale for these people.
Yeah. It's horrifying and disgusting to watch, and it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Because there's no limits, right? There's no rules, there's no boundaries.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so fucking scary to me. So
good thing they're the moral they're the
moral majority
to mm-hmm. look to for mm-hmm. for morality.
Yeah, exactly.
In the country. All right. We had some people write into us, calling us. We didn't get to it last week because I was gone, and I should say thank you so much to Rachel for filling in.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. So let's get to it. We'll start with an email. This is an unsigned email that says, I just watched a documentary called The Program on Netflix. I haven't seen that one. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't.
All right. I haven't. Yeah. It's about a discipline school, in scare quotes, in upstate New York. Although many similar places exist. Not really a school, but don't know what else to call it. It was a horrible place where youths were abused and there was no real education. No actual real counselors. Youth tended to come out worse than when they went in. When I found out that the founder lived in Utah, I had this thought of, oh, of course he's Mormon. It was later confirmed that he was Mormon. To me, it feels like something that would appeal to certain Mormons. I've never been a Mormon, but I have relatives who are. Is there some reason these kinds of things appeal to them? I mean, look, Mormons are professional appealers to authority. Like, authority is the most important thing on the earth to them. They've got a top-down structure that starts with God and just works its way down through the ranks. And they love that sort of shit. So I'm assuming that this is like a almost a military type thing, or a discipline school. Like, they, yeah, I can see rules. Rules are the most important thing. Individualism has never been valued in Mormonism. I will say that. But I don't know. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts beyond that?
No, I mean, well, I haven't seen the program.
Right.
So I don't really know how to comment on it. But I agree with you about authority, and Mormons love it. So weird.
Yeah. All right. We've got a couple of voicemails. Why don't you introduce the first one?
Yeah. How long ago was it? We talked about the Pledge of Allegiance. And we were talking because another caller had sort of submitted their version of sort of a new Pledge of Allegiance, that. Right? And so this caller, Loki, has a personal story, because we had sort of speculated a little bit about what would happen, right? Yeah. If somebody actually did change the Pledge of Allegiance. And so he references it, so we can just listen.
All right.
Hey, Frank and Dan. This is Loki from Ohio. Been a listener for a long time. And on your recent episode, you just had a segment talking, or a caller talking about the Pledge of Allegiance, and you said if you changed it or anything, there would be massive swaths of people just saying the Pledge of Allegiance out of spite. And it reminded me of my time in high school, because sophomore year I stopped standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, and then senior year was the first class that actually took a problem with that, and I started getting followed in the hallways with people just shouting the Pledge of Allegiance at me as I was walking between classes. Clearly, to any sane person, this sounds absolutely bonkers and probably like I'm making it up, but no, I literally had people threaten me and push me into a corner in the hallway over this, and it resulted in multiple people getting suspended I think the only reason wasn't until the end of the school year was solely because it was COVID time during my senior year, so we got out of school early. But yeah, it just reminded me of that so much, of you guys talking about it, and I thought you would love to just hear this insane story from rural Ohio. So keep up the great work. Laugh at this, share it if you want, and keep doing what you're doing. Bye.
Yeah, no surprise to me there. First of all, if you don't want to, I was an outcast in school for a long time. You can't. If you take a big stand like that, you can expect that kind of dumb pushback, especially in rural areas.
Yeah, I think anybody who's attended high school anywhere in this country can recognize something in that experience.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you made it out okay.
No, that's kidding.
Good. Oh. And also, I called it. Did I not call it? I think I nailed it.
Yeah, totally.
All right. I'll read another email. That's what we'll do. This is from Josh, who says, "Hey guys, thanks for your story about the abhorrent practice of female genital mutilation." We had multiple people write in about this, by the way, with this same idea, so I just picked one of them. People need to be aware that it is a common occurrence and even happens, albeit illegally, in the United States. I wanted to bring up something I've been thinking about for a while. Why doesn't ritualistic male genital mutilation raise the ire of people in the same way? About 38% of penises are circumcised, with 80% of Americans with male sex organs having had the procedure. Most are completed well before the person can make their own decision, often infants. They are frequently performed for religious and cultural reasons, and many involve a religious figure blessing or even engaging in the procedure. Granted, the damage to people with female sex organs is worse, and it represents the culture's view on women's bodily autonomy, and there are some studies indicating health benefits for people who are circumcised. But that is beside the point. What right does any parent or religious leader have forcing an elective procedure on a baby or child? Shouldn't that be a choice one makes after adulthood? My parents always said they didn't like infant baptism because people should choose to follow Jesus on their own, but for some reason, snipping the tip to show their adherence to Scripture is fine. I don't get it. So, there you go. Yeah. There is a danger in this discussion, and that is that some people who dive into the anti-circumcision thing are doing so out of anti-Semitic motivation.
Hmm.
As a way of sort of othering Jewish people and making their lives harder. But in America, as Josh points out, like 80% of American penis havers are circumcised.
Yeah.
Which has nothing to do with Judaism. It's like Judaism is like less than 2% of the American populace. So I got to say, you know, you and I talked about this years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're on the record as being very anti-circumcision.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. It all comes down to people getting to make choices about their bodies.
Yeah, right?
And it, considering that it is, whatever sort of, you know, possible medical benefit or what hygiene benefit or whatever that the claims that are made, it just doesn't do enough.
Yeah.
To outweigh, right, these concerns about bodily autonomy. Also, because we can look at so much of the world where intact men, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right word?
I mean, that is a word that is used in this conversation.
Okay, sure. The whole societies, right, where men are able to, they're fine, right?
Yeah.
With the entirety of their penis.
Yeah.
So it's just,
well,
it should stop in this country as
Practice.
Thank you. God,
I think it should stop, period. My personal feeling, having given it actually a lot of thought, falls in line with this, with Josh, who's like, literally, you don't get to mutilate a child.
Well,
I know that there are, people will say, but there's spiritual reasons, that there's religious reasons. I just don't care.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, and in principle, I agree with you. However, I mean, you opened this conversation with talking about anti-Semitism.
Well, right? Yeah.
And this is a practice. I don't know.
It's a complicated right. conversation.
And so,
and I'm not saying that it's easy other right. than don't fucking mutilate children.
I know. And I don't know how you balance that.
Here's the thing.
Because I wholeheartedly agree with you, but yeah. I cannot imagine how you bring the Jewish community along on this.
I know. They're kind of stuck in this thing.
Yeah. It's kind of a big fucking deal for them.
But it is a big deal. So, at very least, I mean, for one thing, it needs to be much better regulated. Like, you know, you can't have rabbis sucking the penises to stem the bleeding and all of this stuff. Like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So that even the Jewish people should get on board with easily, because kids are getting herpes before they have their first, you know, before they're 3 weeks old.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. But I don't know. It is so incredibly complicated.
It is.
I wish that we could just say, yes, let's just ban it. I do not know how you do that.
Yeah.
And
this is why religion ruins everything.
Yeah.
You're stupid. And I mean, all of the stupid ancient, you know, whatever age,
right,
pronouncements about how you're supposed to live your lives don't apply.
Right. I think that you have to just work on progress on an issue like this, because I mean,
at very least, all of you people at home that are listening to this show, don't circumcise your children.
Yes. And
do not do that.
Yeah. I think that we can start making good, you know, better choices on this topic. Yeah. And maybe get to a point where just culturally in America, we kind of walk away from it.
Yeah. Do some research on why it comes up, because frankly, the reason that that most Americans are circumcised is because of the cereal guy, of John Kellogg.
True. That's true. Yeah.
Trying to make people's sex lives worse. That's literally why. The cornflakes guy wanted to make your sex life worse. Anyway.
So enjoy your cornflakes, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. He's dead, so you're not supporting him anymore. Anyway, we have another voicemail, do we not?
We do, Dan. This is a listener who, I think this is a prayer, honestly, that Lauren is offering. And okay, so let's have a listen.
Everyone, please bow your heads and close your eyes. Mm-hmm.
Frank and Dan, this is Lauren from Tennessee, calling on this fine Easter Sunday because today we celebrate our strength. As atheists, we are tested each and every Christian holiday, berated by group chat messages, wishing us a happy Easter or Merry Christmas. They wish to force us into groupthink, hoping we will succumb and send their warm wishes back. But little do they know, we atheists are battling inside our informed, defiant brains, peeling back our fingertips from our screens as we fight the urge to reply back with, God's not real, or celebrating a zombie is weird, or read a fucking book, you fucking fucks. Yet we withhold these deep-seated thoughts as we are outnumbered and unrecognized. I share this with you today because I see you, brothers. I see your strengths. I acknowledge the ignorance of their meaningless messages and carry the weight of intelligence with you. May you keep your strength and survive the day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Lauren.
That's great.
Yeah.
It can be rough out there, but we I think here's what Lauren has really hit on. If these assholes knew how much we are holding back, we as a community, as the atheists as a community, are frequently accused of being dicks about our atheism, and that can definitely happen.
Yeah.
No illusions exists in the world. But also, you have no idea how much we're not saying. It's a lot.
I know. No, I really, Lauren, this resonated with me because we all get these little messages and whatnot, right? And I got two. I got more than that, but two that really stand out. On Easter morning.
Oh my.
One was from my sister, who is also a non-believer. And she said, Happy Easter, and sent a little funny picture or something. Oh. And fine, whatever. And then maybe 5-10 minutes later, you got one from my mom saying Happy Easter. And the thing is, my sister's a non-believer. She sees me. We know each other. We connect, right? Right. My mom has refused to sort of really acknowledge my autonomy as a human being and the fact that I do not believe. And I have told her she understands fully, completely.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's nothing that's secular, right? About
Easter.
About Easter. right? Yeah. I mean, there's the Easter Bunny and blah, 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 blah. But it is a religious holiday, right? Yeah. Unlike with Christmas, you send me, if my mom wishes me a Merry Christmas, who the fuck cares? Right. I don't care. Right. Because it's just such a big thing. That one just doesn't bug me. Easter, it fucking drives me nuts. And every Easter I get this little happy Easter message and whatever, some gif of this year. It was puppy dogs with rabbit ears running across the field.
At least it wasn't Jesus. It wasn't Jesus.
I think she's trying to be sensitive about the whole thing, but like, yeah. I think she's maybe she's trying, but and maybe I should try to acknowledge that, but it just fucking rubs me the wrong way. And I'm like, I almost responded back and I stopped myself of like, I don't celebrate Easter.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, don't be a dick. She's 79 years old. She's never coming around. She's never coming around.
Yeah.
And so I said, happy Easter. Love you.
I mean, you could have sent back a thing that said Eid Mubarak or something like that. Ramadan Mubarak.
Just or confuse the hell out of her.
Happy Passover.
I know.
And then when she's like, well, I don't celebrate Passover. Then you're like, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Likewise.
How does that feel?
Yeah.
When someone sends you a thing that like doesn't relate to what your life is. You really should. You should start sending her. Just don't explain it. Just start sending her greetings on various religious holidays that have nothing to do with her religion. Don't. Yeah. Just nice. Just to be nice.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, you guys can do that. That one's a freebie that you can all have.
I do like that one. But thank you, Lauren. I thought that was good. Good
stuff. All right, and speaking of thank yous, we've got some folks to thank.
We do indeed.
I'm going to start us off. Robert has become a subscriber over on PayPal, a monthly subscriber. And he is now granted the role of teacher.
Nice.
In our priesthood.
Very good.
Good magic powers there. The magic power of I don't know what the fuck teachers do. So there you go. Congratulations. Mysterious magic.
Yeah.
It's all mysterious magic.
All right.
And I'm just guessing you've got some folks.
I do indeed, Dan. We have a new deacon by the name of Coca. So thank you very much. We have three new teachers. We have not other Mark. Fuck that guy. We have Jay and Blue Blar advanced this week in the priesthood, increasing their donations. So, and has purchased a higher priesthood. So congratulations.
That's a fancy, Blue Blar has seen that, anything's possible.
Indeed.
With magic.
The value of our priesthoods as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
We have a new priest by the name of Lawrence.
Okay.
And we have two new patriarchs, both of whom have purchased higher priesthoods this week.
Woo!
Alyssa and Gigi. So thank you so much to everybody for the new patrons and patrons who given us a little bit more. That's love it, guys. Appreciate it so much.
Yeah, and it's so helpful. It's so great. If you would like to become a part, just as a, you know, as a happy, you know what you should have done? Instead of happy Easter, you should have sent back a happy trans visibility message. If you would like to send us a happy trans visibility day message, you can do so by going to thankgodimatheist.com and clicking on the support us tab and choosing to be part of our community. It helps us out so much. It is we appreciate it so much. You can, if you get, you know, if you're a patron at the right amount over on Patreon, you'll get the Frank and Dan diary.
Indeed.
So that's fun. That's weekly. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's just more of us. I think there's one more person to thank.
There is indeed, Dan. There's our Lord and Savior, our top donor, Davis.
More show coming up. Oh, Frank. All right, Frank.
What is going on?
The sun.
Oh.
Was blotted out by the moon.
Ooh, or will have been. But yes, I will go along with you.
I'm speaking in the past tense because by the time anyone hears this, it will have happened. We've talked about this. Everybody's talking about it. It's I saw a map of sort of Airbnbs in the United States.
I saw it too.
And which ones were rented. And the path of totality is also the path of Airbnb totality. all along. Anyway, it's cute. You know, we don't get them. You don't get them in a specific place very often. We've had one already a few years back,
mm-hmm.
And then one coming up on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool. You and I are on record as saying it's one of the coolest things we've ever seen.
It is phenomenal. Like, yeah. It's like, not to like delve too far into all of that, but I was completely unprepared. No matter what I knew about it, right? Oh, the sun's going to be completely blocked out. Yeah. You can see the corona, right? Blah, blah, blah. I was completely unprepared. It was so mind-blowingly amazing and beautiful and bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, just, it's, yeah. But we were talking before the show.
You're having trouble describing it because it defies description. Yeah. It's not something that, yeah. Anywho, a bunch of you presumably experienced it. So congratulations. Mm-hmm. Some of you are, you know, on other continents and didn't notice a damn thing.
Right.
Fair enough. And then it'll come to you eventually. It won't come here for another, 40 years or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we're kind of out of luck. We'll have to travel if we want to see
it. To travel if we want to see it again. Yeah. That's fine. But here's the thing. A lot of people have a lot to say about the cosmic meaning of this. Now, I'll preface by saying there's no cosmic meaning.
No. So
to celestial activity.
Yeah. So this happens all the time, right?
Oh, like
the sun is shining light on the moon almost all the time, right?
Yeah.
And there's always the moon blocks the light, you know, behind it, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, it's just so happening that that little dark area is going to be passing from Texas up through Maine or whatever it is.
Yeah.
On Monday, or did just happen, or whatever, however we want to talk about it. And that's just what's happening.
Right.
That's all it is.
That's all.
Celestial bodies just moving around.
It's
and there's
called
no,
a shadow.
Yeah.
Try not to get too freaked out about it.
It's a shadow. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
But it is very understandable that people who didn't have our understanding of how our solar system works, it's understandable that it would freak them out. Because we can predict it now. We know exactly where everything's going to be when it's going to be there.
Oh.
But they didn't know any of that shit.
Dan,
so like,
could you imagine, Dan, like having no idea what was going on and then all of a sudden that happened?
Oh, believe me. Like, the reverence with which we were earlier discussing this phenomenon would have been horror. It would have been the scariest thing in the world. I can't imagine how that would have felt.
I mean,
just literally, it's suddenly nighttime for 5 minutes.
And you look up to where the sun is supposed to be, and it is the blackest orb imaginable.
Yeah.
With like because you can see now the corona, right? And so there's just these wispy cloud things all around it, right? And you would look once and then run in horror, go hide.
Yeah.
And not want to look back because it would be so fucking terrifying.
So it makes sense that the ancients would freak out.
Yeah.
So, you know, since most of the major world religions are ancient idiots coming up with philosophies about life,
right?
Without any useful information, yeah, it makes sense that baked into some of those old religions were some problems with these things. So you know, there, RNS had an interesting article about like how different religions respond, to this.
It was interesting. It was an interesting read because, like, some like Buddhism, if I remember correctly, had a really positive thing about it. In fact, they saw eclipses as multipliers of like
of good karma
right?
Yeah,
which
like you do if you do something good during an eclipse.
Yeah,
a lunar eclipse. This is the numbers that the article says. A lunar eclipse will multiply your good intentions and actions by 700,000.
That's amazing.
I don't know where I don't know how they came up with these figures.
Sure,
but I like them. a solar eclipse. You do something good during a solar eclipse, you're up 100 million.
Yeah.
That is that that's enough to get you through seven lifetimes right there.
Yeah. And so good on the Buddhists, right?
Give somebody a dollar during the eclipse.
It's like giving $100 million.
You will be blessed as though you gave $100 million.
No, so that's not how it works. It would be as though you'd given a dollar 100 million times.
It's also it's great.
It's important. It's a subtle but important distinction.
You still get credit. I'm just saying, build up your credit.
Okay.
Give five people a dollar.
Woohoo!
You just can't go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, there are, they talk about sort of Christianity and how, you know, celestial signs were important in ancient times and whatever. And, you know, there was a sort of a 3-hour darkness after Jesus died. So that's
supposedly
quasi. Yeah. I mean, obviously that didn't happen, but like that's quasi eclipse like or whatever.
Sure. Sure. Even though eclipses don't last that long.
So, you know, not remotely that long. Islam has a whole thing where it's like, you know, Islam actually gets kind of pragmatic about it because, you know, people wanted to make a big deal out of it and say, what does this portend? And then apparently their prophets were like, no, only God controls the sun. And so don't get all like weird about it. It's just a thing that God chose to do. So,
There was something from like, attributed to Muhammad is like the prophet corrected them by reminding them that the sun and moon are signs of God and to not add any superstitions as to why. Yeah, that's essentially what you just said. But I think it's really funny whenever like very superstitious people get all fussy about other superstitions.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't make a superstition about this. Make it about one of those.
These are my sanctioned superstitions over here. Yeah,
exactly. Right. I mean, that's what all religion is.
I know. It's like it's just so
drawing
funny.
Lines about around which superstitions are the right ones. Judaism has a thing. I wanted to get to something else though. The Jewish one was I don't even remember. It's an ill omen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it's an ill omen. It's a bad sign, which is so dumb and funny and like whatever. But these were ancients. I understand it. I would look up at the sky and be like, fuck. So I get the ill omen thing. I wanted to point out. Oh, I lost it. I wanted to point out what a friend of mine who, God love her. She's a woo person of the highest order.
Oh, okay.
She is herself. She has studied and is a practitioner of Ayurvedic medicine, which is sort of ancient Indian.
Okay. Yeah.
I hesitate to use the word medicine. but we'll call it health voodoo.
Okay.
Because it's all just, you know, hoodoo. It's all just woo.
Right.
I suppose maybe they found some herbs that were, you know, that are good for you or something. But, sure. You know, it's 99% woo.
Right.
And here's the proof of that, which is she commented on a post that was like, you know, I can't emphasize this enough. You've got, if you have a chance to go see the eclipse, definitely go see it.
Hmm.
And my friend wrote, I'm sorry, but I can't disagree more. You do you. But I have to say that anyone, I have to say for anyone who can hear this, in Vedic astrology, if you watch a solar eclipse, it invites a shadow energy into your life, supposedly for 17 years.
Oh my God.
Frank, we've got shadow energy in us. What will we do?
And believe me, she does know that about you, Dan.
She would definitely say, because I will comment on some of her posts. So she would, I'm sure she would say, I have a shadow energy. I literally commented on this one and was like, look, I don't know nothing about no shadow energy. I can tell you 100% though that it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I haven't felt any shadowier since then.
You were already shadowy, Dan.
I was the shadowiest. Apparently, yeah. You cannot further shadow me. You can't make me any shadowier than I already was back in 2018 or whenever it was.
Funny.
17? When was it? I don't know.
Anyway. Yeah, 17.
So there you go. And then there are the people. I talked about this a little bit over on there will be an upcoming episode of Data Over Dogma, but then there are the real conspiracy theorists who are ready for this to be the sign that the end times are starting now. Like, this is going to be the launch. And one of the ones that was amazing is there was a video of a guy who was like, they're starting, you know, the Hadron Collider at CERN has been down for maintenance.
Uh-oh.
And they've started it back up, and they will resume experimentation coincidentally on April 8th.
Really?
And so, and
that's
I don't
terrifying,
know,
Darren.
I don't know if you know this, but there is a big conspiracy theory that a lot of people are believing that the Hadron Collider is created specifically to create a portal to allow, like, this is Ghostbusters levels of stupid, to create a portal to allow demons out into the world.
Yeah.
And they've got there's also this conspiracy theory that Geneva, Switzerland, which is sort of the, you know, the Hadron Collider's like, you know, 20 miles off of Geneva or whatever, that Geneva is built on a temple of Apollo, and that temple of Apollo is what the Bible's referring to when it uses the Greek word Apollyon. And like,
oh,
like literally
God.
Everything about this is wrong in every way, but they are into it. And so they're pretty sure that CERN firing back up on the day of an eclipse that does not affect Switzerland in any way.
No.
But somehow an eclipse in the US and a Hadron Collider in Switzerland.
The Hadron Collider knows that there is a shadow somewhere.
Yeah.
A very alarming and concerning shadow.
So gosh, I hope we all make it through.
Yeah. Yeah.
I if you're listening to this, maybe we survived it. And I'm so glad for all of us. Please say hi to your demons for me.
Golly.
If you're in Switzerland, please watch out, because traffic's going to be a bear. Once those demons are flying out of that thing.
Oh, yeah.
All bets are off in terms of, like, you know, just getting to work is going to be a real pain in the butt.
All right.
All right. Well, if you if you want to talk about eclipse stuff or weird superstitions that your family participates in, write into me, write into us, podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Yeah, go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist, and click the like button.
And if you'd like to join one of our members-only lounges, you can do so by going to our website, thankgodimatheist.com/members-only.
Thanks so much to the Red Rock Hot Club for the use of their music.
And thanks to Gordon Johnston for the use of his music.
And thanks to all y'all for tuning in. We sure do appreciate you.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.